We are continuing our panel discussion on this new surveillance tool being employed by law enforcement officials here in Korea and the resulting concerns that have come about regarding personal privacy. Give us your thoughts. Text us at #1013 or send us a KakaoTalk message. We have joining us Professor Lee Eun-hyuk from Konguk University and Professor Park Kyung-shin from Korea University. We're also going to connect in a little while to an expert from the UK as well. Professors, thank you both for joining us once again.
Thank you.
Professor Park, I just want to maybe kind of continue on with what Professor Lee had mentioned, but you had an interesting comment during the break about how the software itself and the actual idea of getting a warrant or not to retrieve this information you feel are not kind of, are being a little bit misunderstood, right?
Right. The software doesn't make it easier for the police to get a warrant on somebody. The software makes it easier for the police to extract data from the suspect's phone after they get a warrant. So people's main concern has been whether the police get and whether the judiciary issue a proper warrant for surveillance. This software technology progresses, and let's say a few years ago Only regional, big police stations could do data extraction from phones, but now they can do it at local offices. If they do it only pursuant to a properly issued warrant, there is no problem. I think that people are concerned that if the police can do it easier, they'll have more incentive for applying for and obtaining more warrants for surveillance upon people. But still, what are you going to do if the technology progresses and the criminals' tools become more advanced? Right. So the police tool become more advanced. So I think the bigger issue is how to narrow the scope and how to reduce the number of warrants.
Professor Lee, would you like to respond?
Yes, I totally agree with that possibility. That would be a big concern over the police practices. But again, it's a matter of the trust. And from the judicial point of view, it's very necessary for a judge to specify in terms of scope. I mean, in what times and what areas needed to be searched and seized. So it's there's a lot of thing to do for police and judge in order to protect individual rights. But if the police just use to provide public service, that would be okay. But still have some concern over the malpractice by some of the police officials.
Sure.
Right. So we need to control their issues. And if the this software is structurally designed to prevent in advance, now that would reduce much concerns over these issues.
We're going to continue this discussion and get a perspective from overseas. Joining us from Warwick University, cyber systems engineering professor Karsten Maple. Hello.
Hello.
Professor Maple, thank you for joining us. Countries all over the world are wrestling with this issue, the UK, the United States, even here in Korea. From what you've been able to find out about this new software being developed by the Korean police agencies in terms of extracting data from smartphones, what are your general thoughts?
Well, I think the technology has been around for a little while, and I think one of your other experts mentioned that it allows a larger scale and smaller forces to do this now. So it is hardly surprising with current technology that this is being introduced.
Do you feel that then the, expected uproar and concerns being voiced by Korean people here are unwarranted, or do they have a point?
Well, different countries around the world have different views. If we look in America, the view is that security is less important now than privacy, especially after the Snowden revelations and the NSA. In the UK, however, we still believe that it's important for police to have access to information, and we're more concerned about companies accessing our personal information than the government.
So essentially, if we have this idea, and perhaps the NSA and Edward Snowden sort of kind of, in their way, change the dynamic on how a lot of people view the issue of national security versus privacy. If you are just an average Joe on the street and you're not a criminal, you haven't done anything egregiously wrong, you have nothing to hide, you really don't have a lot of concerns or worries about this, right?
Well, that's the argument that's sometimes leveled. I have to say, we have got a fundamental right to privacy in many countries in the world. And that's what we have to balance up. Should we, just because we are law-abiding and we have nothing to hide criminally, should we have to forego our privacy or not? And that is quite an interesting question for different societies to wrestle with. It's not just about whether you do something wrong, but it's about what is your fundamental right to privacy.
Yeah, and as an expert in this, at least the technical aspects of it, we keep hearing about these algorithms, about how they are able to sift through these mass amounts of data. Is it a pretty flawless process, or can somebody kind of get caught up in the web there and be suspected of being, whether it's terrorism or any other criminally related activities, just because they kind of, typed in the wrong keywords?
Well, that's certainly possible that some of these algorithms will be flawed and they are continually improving. But there's no doubt that if you search for certain things, that you may come up as somebody of interest. That's quite different to being suspected of a particular crime, and that's quite different to being charged with a crime. All it means is you will be someone of interest, and then that will relate to some kind of investigation, mm-hmm. sometimes, other times not.
Right. I mean, what he's talking about is, let's say, someone wrote an email that contains, I need to take some drugs for my court, right?
Yeah.
But if the police are looking for an email that talks about, you know, contraband, illegal drug, the police may just type in, may use the term drug as the search word.
Right.
And that email, the person looking for court medicine, his mail will be, pulled in to the investigation. So there is always that danger of over-inclusion. But the problem within Korea is whether the police are restricting their search through the devices using this keyword search. Because
right.
I've seen many times that the police just get 7 months or 7 years worth of data without mm-hmm. limiting by keyword search.
Yeah, some interesting point there. Just a final question, Professor Maple. As just some general advice to a lot of our listeners out there, the vast majority who are not criminals, who are not terrorists, who are not crazy conspiracy theorists, what advice would you give them, even if they are rational people, but they are still concerned about what they're hearing in the news regarding these surveillance programs?
What is absolutely vital is there is regulation of investigatory powers. So in the UK, in 2000, we brought in the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, which meant that if police wanted to monitor communications, they had to apply for a warrant. So you need this oversight, I think. I think that's vital. I can tell you in the UK, there's some statistics just come out that says that police officers have asked every 2 minutes for some information on monitoring emails, text messages, etc. So it's significant in the UK. Just under 10% of those requests were denied, so they're not always upheld, those requests. But we do have something in the UK that allows us to consider how many cases there have been. So we can ask under the Freedom of Information Act for those statistics. So they are monitored. It's not a free-for-all currently.
Okay.
There are some changes being proposed in the UK which would give wider powers to the police. But for now, I would recommend that people in South Korea just ensure that regulation is in place. And if that is in place and they're confident that it's got oversight, then they should have nothing really to worry about.
All right. Well said. Professor Maple, we will leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
Professor Carsten Maple from Warwick University. Let's get our professor's reactions to it. Maybe Professor Lee first and then Professor Park.
I mean, in terms of regulation, I think we have double regulation. For example, the police investigation is closely monitored or supervised by prosecutor office. And then the court also review the police investigation is all right in terms of legality. So I think we, South Korean police, have no problems in terms of legality. In some sense, there is over regulation by prosecutors and the court. I mean, much higher level of regulation compared to any country in the world. So I think it's still, I strongly believe that it is a matter of the trust. In the United States or over the UK, the public have a strong trust toward the police. But here in South Korea, due to the historical experience, like Japanese colonial period, they occupied the South, occupied Korean Peninsula and used the police as a puppet to control the whole people. So that kind of memory was still alive. So
right.
That has some great concern whenever the police advertise or let the public know the new policies. So there is
right.
a hidden problem.
There's an inherent distrust in the police, and I would say in recent years, maybe an inherent distrust now in the government as a whole. Professor Park?
Yes, I don't think it is historical that people distrust. I don't think it is for historical reason that people distrust the Korean police. I think even recent set of events, like how the police cracked down upon completely peaceful demonstrations or peaceful assemblies in Gwanghwamun, and how the police, how broad the police surveillance have been on people, as shown by the last year's Telegram, you know, KakaoTalk fiasco. The warrantless access. I mean, Professor Maple talked about the regulation, and the key to the regulation is a warrant, right? Anything accessed by the police on private people should be subject to a warrant. But in Korea, just last year, more than 10 million people's personal data have been accessed without warrant. That number has increased from a few hundred thousand in 2007 and has been on the increase, and now has reached, you know, like one-fifth of the total population. I mean, crime rate in Korea is not that high, right? 10 million people being considered suspects and their data being acquired by the police. So I disagree that there is too much regulation here. I think that the regulation has to has to be toughened.
I want to kind of shift the conversation then to maybe a more broader discussion, because I guess the consensus we're seeing from both our panelists and a lot of people is that this particular software is just kind of one small part of the wider issue. Professor Lee, can we just get your thoughts on the proposal by the ruling Saenuri Party put forth today? They want to amend the Communication Privacy Act, the 통신 비밀 보호법.
I mean, there is a long discussion over whether we South Korean law enforcement have to be equipped with some surveillance in terms of communication, because South Korea is facing the North Korea every time, every day. And in order to prevent terrorist attacks from the North Korea, it is very important to prevent in advance. So in order to do so, law enforcement authority have to be equipped with some relevant devices. But over the past several years, there is a great concern whether North Korea has tried to attack in terms of cyber attack or some espionage act. But compared to other countries like UK or other United States, we have lack of their devices. So I think this congressman just tried to propose their ideas. But I think there are some hurdles in terms of public support. As we discussed it, over the past several decades, the public law officials have had capitalized on those issues in bad manners. I mean, private information was unnecessarily used for political reasons, so that is a great concern. But I think it's time to strike a right balance between national security and private issues, privacy issues.
Professor Park.
Yes, what this new bill proposed by Bang Min-sik from Senuri does is it requires all telecommunication service providers to equip themselves with a device allowing real-time wiretapping of its users. So telecoms, you know, mobile telecom companies, broadband service providers, also Daum Kakao, Naver, Google, they are value-added service providers. All of them have to equip themselves with the facilities that allow the police listen in on the company's customers on a real-time basis. I think that this has nothing to do with this is a far broader proposal that does not really respond to any enhanced need for national security vis-a-vis North Korea. There is no law in any other country that requires companies like, well, not telecoms, but requires portals like Google, Naver, Daum, Kakao to be, wiretappable. Mm. There will be communication. There will be, chatting sessions that their customers engage in that will not be subject to wiretapping. But that's the fact of life. The police have to live with the fact that some of these conversations between private people will not be wiretappable. And that's the state of affairs in any other country. And we should not be singled out as a country where the police can listen in on, like, even in those private conversations.
Well, it's been a great discussion. We are almost out of time. But, Professor Lee, you mentioned striking that balance between security concerns and right to privacy. How does the government do this in a way? I think it's partially legislation, it's partially almost public relations, PR and imaging, because right now the trust is not there. I think everyone acknowledges, what can they do?
That decision should be hinged upon the public support. If the Korean public strongly believe, do what the law, Korean law enforcement do, and some laws of privacy, that we should pay for it. I mean, that the homogeneous opinion is much higher than we expected. I mean, that is kind of legitimate way to do so. But if the Korean public still believe that law enforcement misuse those authority, now it's not right time to do so. So it totally based upon the public evaluation. So
bottom line, if they can't convince the people that this is the right way to go, they shouldn't push it.
Right, but just a temporary survey indicated that 42% versus 41%, so it's very hard to which opinion we should follow. But
okay, final thoughts?
Nothing. I was just curious to know what 42% support.
Support for passing this law,
which law? The law that requires equipping
right, but the actual the requirement is not like a mandatory installation. Actually, the government is supposed to pay for installation fee. So that is not mandatory requirement to install these devices.
Oh, it is mandatory. The government will pay for the cost. I know about this law. I mean, the laws like, the bills like this have been in existence for a while, but never passed. I don't think it's going to pass this time, but anyway.
All right. Yeah. Well, some differing views on, I suppose, the outlook of that particular bill that we just said, proposed by Pang Min-sik of the Saenuri Party. And, of course, the concerns over this software that the police will be using as a tool to aid them in terms of tracking down some of these criminal cases that they've had problems with. It's not an easy issue, and it's a very difficult thing to try to get through within an hour time frame. But we do thank both of our professors for joining us, Professor Lee Eun-hyuk, Professor Park Kyung-shin. Thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.